Lord's Day 45. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word. For all things he hath commanded us to ask of him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised us in his word. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised. In that prayer, he himself has taught us. What are the words of that prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord's Day 45 begins the final section of the Heidelberg Catechism entitled Of Prayer. It treats first the necessity of prayer. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Question 116. And the requisites of prayer. What needs to be included in prayer? Question 117. And then the objects of prayer, the things we've got to ask for. Question 118. Before introducing and quoting the Lord's Prayer in question 119, the basic contents of this Lord's Day. This morning, we're going to consider our subject in terms of the vital relationship between prayer and thankfulness. You'll notice that this first Lord's Day on prayer relates it to gratitude. The first question and answer of the first Lord's Day in prayer relates it to gratitude. Answer 116. Why is it necessary to pray? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who, with sincere desires, continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. And you may recall too, I trust you do, that the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism deals with gratitude. We're sinful and miserable in our sins. Jesus has come to deliver us, and then gratitude for deliverance from that sin and destruction. And now the chief part of that gratitude, the Catechism teaches, and this is biblical too, is prayer. What then is the connection between prayer and thankfulness? A couple of questions. Can you pray without gratitude? When you're not grateful, do you even bother to pray? And to widen it out a little, can you do anything acceptably before God without being grateful? And of course, without being grateful, you don't even really bother doing anything in service to the Lord at all. This connection then between prayer and thankfulness is reciprocal. That is, gratitude creates and expresses itself in prayer, and then prayer, in turn, increases gratitude. You feel that, you've experienced that. That's what happens. And that's not just the Christian experience, but it is what the Bible itself actually teaches. Now, before I give the theme and divisions, I want to make a simple distinction between thankfulness or gratitude on the one hand and thanksgiving on the other. Thankfulness is a condition of our heart. We're grateful. That's a spiritual attitude. We're grateful. Thanksgiving, and now you can probably get the distinction even before I give it to you. Thanksgiving is the expression of the gratitude. So I am grateful, I am thankful, and therefore I express it in thanksgiving. Now, having made that distinction, and it's worth noting and having straight, I will probably use the two almost synonymously because they're so closely related. They sort of bleed into each other in a positive sense. Let's look then at prayer and thankfulness, making several points about both of them. Prayer and thankfulness. Number one, both are required. Number two, both are parts of each other. That requires a little explanation. Three, both flow from each other. Prayer and thankfulness, both are required, both are parts of each other, and both flow from each other. Thankfulness, then, very easy to prove from God's word that it is expressly commanded. Psalm 50, verse 14, we're going to sing that at the end of this service. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Offer unto God thanksgiving. To quote a New Testament text, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, to give thanks. That's clear. Thankfulness then is required of all believers because of the greatness of our sin and misery for which we have been delivered. That's the only proper response. The Christian is someone who, at the entry into his Christian life and continually on that pathway, is aware of the awful guilt and shame of his own sin. And the Christian understands the wonder of the gospel, that our iniquities were imputed to Jesus Christ, that he willingly bore our shame upon the cross and released us from that death. You never get beyond that. There is no getting beyond that. You only get deeper into that in the way of gratitude. The Christian is also aware of the terrible eternal punishment for sin that God righteously inflicts. And he is mindful, and he reads about this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of one, even Christ Jesus, our substitute, who suffered what we deserved, who drank the cup of God's wrath, so that the believer never has to put it to his own lips. And the believer says, even in his darkest periods, and even when he drifts away from God, he says, you know, I can still be thankful for God that that is not my future. I may be not the Christian I should be, and I'm not as grateful as I ought to be, But that, Jesus did that for me, and the believer begins to feel grateful. Grateful for the work of the Son of God. The believer also, and this is the ongoing struggle of the Christian life, knows the power of sin. He feels constantly the tug of the flesh, that evil inclination, which of itself would make it impossible to serve God or do anything right in life. And now, through the work of Jesus Christ, and by the regenerating work of His Holy Spirit, the believer experiences freedom to serve God. Principally, he's been liberated. But even that freedom, because of our own sinfulness and willfulness, we also feel it circumscribed and limited. So that the apostle says, "The good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do." He is free, but it's bounded in that freedom by the lusts of the flesh, and he feels at times that freedom widening out, and at other times contracting, when he has been indulging in the sins of the flesh and of the mind. And when the believer experiences more of that inner compulsion to live according to all of God's ways with a sincere heart, he feels a thankfulness as well as liberty breaking upon his soul. Thankfulness is required and is generated by that deliverance. And then the believer, turning from God's work in him and directly bearing upon him in his own life, traces the grace of God in our deliverance all the way back to his eternal mercy upon us, that I was chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And then the believer looks at some people, including people he used to associate with and sin with, and he says, "Why are they not saved? Why am I saved?" And the Bible tells us that God has ordained some to destruction in the way of their sins, his eternal choice, and that God in grace saves other people, with the reason for it all lying in the inscrutable will of the sovereign God. And the believer says, "Even in my worst moments, I'm thankful to God that I'm included, because I couldn't have made myself to differ. God did that." And the believer finds in a heart, sometimes even limited because of indulgence in sin, he finds that he's grateful. Grateful even for that. And then he thinks to himself, "It's a good job too, because if that wasn't the case, and it did depend on me ultimately, I don't think I could go through with it." Then the believer comes to the Scriptures and he thinks of words like reconciliation, the God who brings me back and establishes friendship with me. He thinks of the payment of a price, the price of the death of the Son of God. He thinks of redemption, that transaction wrought by Jesus Christ to purchase us and bring us back from the thraldom of sin and death. And he sees the mercy of God then coming to him as one of the sheep for whom Jesus died. "My sheep hear my voice. They follow me." I hear that voice. I'm being called to Jesus all my life long, even when I stray. The shepherd is coming after me. He promises me that my sins are forgiven. And he says that he will renew us all graciously from within. Gratitude. Thankfulness, the key note of the reformed Christian. And then God says to us, "I have placed means on the earth for you to know the truth. I have given you the church, the instituted church, which comes and preaches the word to you You need to hear that word. You need to hear that word. And we have the sacraments. God says they're powerful vehicles of grace. And you hear sermons about it. And then you think, are they really? Is God's going to use water and wine and bread? Yeah, he does. He does. We don't really know exactly how. Even when you preach about it, you're still not entirely clear how. But he does. That's grace. It's mysterious. And God says, I've given office bearers in the church, men who must be faithful. And despite the sins and weaknesses, there's oversight there that is for your good. In the same way that children have parents, and though your parents aren't always stellar, and they'd confess that too, you're a whole lot better with them than without them, even in their worst moments. And church office bearers are like that too. Just think about parents. You've been a parent, many of you, you know what it's like. Well, you need parents and you need office bearers to help you. Even in their worst moments, they're still there for your good. And by the way, it's not that our office bearers have done anything terribly wrong or anything like that, I'm trying to cover up, but you get the point. And in this way, the scriptures teach us that the Institute Church is a pillar and ground of the truth, to hold up the one thing that you and your children need, the truth as it is in Jesus. And God gives to us then each one. He gives to us the sacred scriptures, and you can read them in your own mother tongue, and even in English, if that's not your mother tongue, as well as your mother tongue. And he's given us books to explain and call us to a holy, holy life in Jesus Christ. And all the things that God give us call us to be thankful. From God's perspective, it's a gift. And the response to a gift, the right response, is always gratitude. Gratitude. And thankfulness... thankfulness is not primarily even to be directed to any creature. You're thankful to your parents or to people who help you. Sure, that's right and good. But thankfulness is always the attitude, first of all, to God. God deserves gratitude. And ingratitude is always idolatry. And sometimes you get people outside of Jesus Christ and they say, I'm so thankful. Things in my life are going well. But thankfulness requires an object, not just thankful for X and Y, but thankful to whom. And once the great object, namely God, is taken out, then thankfulness is really, really just a word, just part of a fallen world with a word that just doesn't really make sense, doesn't belong. And so ultimately is being elided from the consciousness of people and even from our own language. People really ought to be angry, disillusioned, thankful. Thankful really only belongs in the Christian faith. Been explaining that thankfulness is required, and now we need to see that both thankfulness and prayer are required. It is, says the Catechism, prayer, the chief part of gratitude or thankfulness which God requires of us. We read Luke 11, verse 9. I say unto you, Christ speaking, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And those three imperatives, ask, seek, and knock, are just three different ways of saying, pray. Your praying is asking God. Your praying is seeking him. And your praying is knocking on the door of heaven. Pray. Required, says the Catechism. And Jesus utters these words after his parable of the friend coming to another friend. Hopefully it's not his very best friend, or otherwise you'd have thought he would have got up out of bed a bit quicker at midnight.
The point is then that prayer ought to be importunate. You keep knocking on the door until that man who's too comfortable and too cozy in his bed shakes himself down and says, "Oh, I'll just have to go and get him, because otherwise you're not going to get any rest. I'm not going to get any sleep tonight." Jesus says in verse 2, "When ye pray," assuming that the people of God do pray, and there is, of course, no lower limit here. But when we say "when you pray," we mean teenagers pray, and we mean children pray. When you pray, all of us. And then Jesus says, when you pray, here is the model prayer. This is how you should do it. These are the things for which you should pray. Prayer is required by commands of Jesus, and prayer is also a requirement even when you think of what it is. Prayer is essentially communion with God. It is the way in which we express our desires, wishes, and worship to the Almighty. And you can't have any sort of a relationship or fellowship with God, never mind with a human being, without talking to them. Prayer also includes praising God. We express in our prayers that we are completely dependent upon the Almighty. And the Catechism is very clear. It says that prayer is not merely a good idea. It's not something the minister recommends for the really spiritual people in the church. Or it's not something that just helps you, or is something that's important for a Christian to do. The Catechism says necessary. You need to do it. The Catechism says requirement. You are required to do it. You are required to pay your taxes. You are required to drive on the left-hand side of the road. You are required to do all sorts of things. And amongst all the requirements of a human being, the Christian is the requirement. You're required. This is part of what you must do. Pray. And be thankful. And now we need to see that not only are both of these things required, but that they are parts of each other. Relatively easy it is to see that thankfulness is part of prayer. Some of us are familiar with the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, which is also, in a different form, the fifth book of the New Testament. So now you can't forget ACTS. A, adoration. Of course, it's not going to work in every language, this, but A, adoration. C, for confession of sin. These are components, aspects, elements, things to be included in prayer. And you do it automatically when you're praying rightly. You adore God, you confess your sins, not only because you think Scripture says this, but you feel it from within. I'm coming to God, this is who God is, this is the way I approach Him. I confess my sins because I no sooner enter into His presence, but I feel that I'm guilty. And then T, thankfulness. The very thought of God and listening to somebody like me. I mean, the Christian may think even my wife gets tired listening to me. I get tired listening to me. My husband, my children, my parents. And here's God, and He listens to me, and I can tell Him things that I wouldn't dare tell anyone else. And He's delivered me from sin and misery. Adoration, confession of sin, thankfulness, and then supplications, S. And supplications are requests that are more zealous and earnest than the usual sorts of requests that you and I typically offer. And our prayers ought to and do, though the percentage, as it were, if you can even speak as a crude term, may vary from time to time. Sometimes in our prayers it's especially requests, or it's especially worship or confession of sin, like Psalm 51, the thing that's most pressing upon us. So clearly, thanksgiving is part of prayer. It's included as the letter T
And Philippians 4 verse 6 states this: be careful, that is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving is part of prayer, one of the four major components of prayer. But prayer is also a part of thankfulness. And here's the way, and this is the argument of the Catechism, and in part the genius of the Catechism. The believer who understands his gracious deliverance from sin and misery is therefore grateful to God. Psalm 50 says, how will I show my gratitude to God for all his mercies to me? That's the right attitude. And that's the sort of question that the Christian needs to have in his heart. And when we react badly to things, or when we opt out or are lazy, our fundamental problem is, I wasn't thankful. I wasn't grateful to God. I wasn't willing to put myself out because, The Heidelberg Catechism, in its third point of thankfulness, says basically two things. I show that I'm grateful by keeping God's commandments from the heart. Law. Obedience shows I'm grateful. And if you get a disobedient son or daughter, that's because they're not thankful. They're not thankful for what you're giving them. They're ungrateful for all that you've done for them. And if they're thankful, then they'll say, Mummy, what can I do to help? The right attitude. Because they're changed from within. And that's what we aim at. People who are grateful. And grateful people don't cause problems in your household. Grateful people are just good people to be around with. They're thankful. You can rub shoulders with them without rubbing each other up the wrong way. That's what we need. Obey God's law out of gratitude, the law, and prayer is the second thing the Catechism says in which we show our gratitude. And the Catechism makes the point that it is actually the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. Not just the Ten Commandments, keeping the Ten Commandments, but also prayer, and that prayer is actually the bigger one, the more important one, the chief one. And we go back to what prayer is. It's fellowship with God. We're reconciled by the cross to be his friends. We show that in communion with God, and that comes first, and then we obey. The other point is, of course, the prayer is most obviously internal. Now, there are some prayers that you can buy them in books. That is, people have written things out, which some Christians find helpful. There are even some written prayers in the church's liturgy, in the forms. The prayers are very good prayers. They explain the meaning of the sacrament or the installation of office bearers. They're appropriate words to put in people's mouths to get across the idea of the important element of the church's life, sacramental administration or the ordination of an office bearer, to remain with those two, or even church discipline. But prayer is most obviously and principally a matter of the heart. And what happens is that when we pray, we consciously go to God, and we do so through the mediator. We're always going to God through Jesus. And we tell him that we're sorry for our sins, that we do love him, and that he can see this, even when there isn't as much evidence in our life as it should be, that we do hate our evil ways, and the breaking in again of gratitude. The final point regarding prayer and thankfulness is that they're not only both required and both parts of each other, but they both flow from each other. And in a sense, this is almost redundant because it's been drawn out in the things we've looked at already. You can test this for yourself, but my thinking is that there are two main sources or occasions for prayer in the Bible. True prayer. I'd be curious if you come up with a different one. Well, that might be helpful for me, but the first thing is people especially pray when they are in danger or distressed. Think of that when you're reading some of the Psalms. Psalm 18 is a good example, or reflecting upon danger and distress and how God helped them. The believer is distressed because of his sins. Psalm 32, Psalm 51. He's distressed because he feels God is angry with him and he's far off, like Psalm 88. He is attacked by enemies. He's crying out to God to help him and defend him because he's at his wit's end. He's in other difficult circumstances. Distress makes people pray. And you would say, yeah, I would think that's true. I'd say that's true of me. I pray, sometimes it's almost the only time when I pray, when I'm in trouble. Or sometimes I would say, yes, my prayers have been most earnest when I have been in a really difficult spot. Distress. That makes people pray. Which is, of course, actually one of the reasons why God puts misery into our lives. And we feel this too. We say, you know, God is getting me to pray here because I haven't been faithful praying the way I should have done. And now he's stirring me up. And now he's showing me that I really need to be praying more than I ought to do. Sometimes it takes a situation like this to get me on my knees. And if that's one major reason for prayer, the other one, the one in view here, which is a constant, or ought to be a constant in our lives, because we're not always as endangered as we are sometimes, is gratitude. Gratitude. Thankfulness, then, leads to thanksgiving, which is part of prayer. Thankfulness leads to adoration. If I'm thankful to God, it's not a very large remove to say that I worship the God who has delivered me. And even thankfulness helps us to confess our sins. Lord, I am grateful for all the great things that you've done for me in my life. I really would have messed it up 1,000 times. And what makes it worse is that I keep on sinning. And I just show that I'm a recalcitrant fool. And you may realize that I've been talking about thankfulness leading to adoration, A. Thankfulness leading to confession of sin, C. Thankfulness being thanksgiving, and thankfulness leading to supplication and requests, asking, knocking, and seeking. But thankfulness isn't only a source of prayer, but it is, of course, the source, the only source, of a healthy Christian life. It's a sort of lubricant that makes all the parts of the Christian life work together, run together, operate together. If you're not grateful, for instance, the Ten Commandments is just a list of do's and don'ts that make life difficult, a bothersome restraint. Do this, don't do that. But if you believe that God is the God who brought you out of sin and misery, well, then the Ten Commandments come to us very, very differently. Without gratitude, thankfulness, prayer is an undesirable chore. Sometimes it's difficult enough when you are thankful. Church meetings and sermons, don't they go so long at times? Church meetings and catechism and Bible study, sometimes it can be a bother to go and participate in or stay awake in. But if you're really thankful, then you listen better, you take it to heart, and you say, you know, that's right. What was said from the pulpit was right. I need to do that better. I need to be more faithful. Makes a difference, a big difference. Or even working for our fellow saints in the church. If you're not thankful, you'll be thinking, instead of wanting to do things, you'll be thinking, how do I get out of doing this? Is there any reasonable way in which I can just sling a bit of lead? That's how people operate. And the cure, the way back for us when our prayer life is weak,
and many of us would say, that's something that I really struggle with.
The cure for us is not only having the minister preach to us, and we're going to get it preached because we're in that part of the Heidelberg Catechism now to the end. So the minister can exhort, and God uses exhortations as a means of grace to stir us up. And Luke 11 says, ask, seek, knock, and it promises that everyone who asks and seeks and knocks will receive. But ultimately, what helps us and generates prayer is gratitude. Going back to the cross, magnifying in our hearts the great and mighty works of God, and always going back to our first love, then we pray. The problem, of course, with the Laodiceans, they'd forgotten that they were poor, blind, naked, and miserable. 2 Peter 1 says, you are blind in that you have forgotten that you were purged from your former sins. And the Christian then keeps going back to the cross of Christ. It's the way God has designed the Bible and the way God designs our Christian life. They always come back to there. And we learn of his love and sufferings for us. And then it begins to thaw out our own cold and hard hearts. Quickly then, thankfulness is a source of prayer. And now prayer is a source of thankfulness. You take Luke 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. And then when you receive, then you're grateful. God answered my prayers. He heard me. He lifted me up out of the miry clay. He delivered me from all my enemies. He set my feet upon a rock, Christ Jesus. Prayer leads to gratitude. Answer 116 says that God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for him. Gratitude. Prayer, gratitude, a virtuous circle. And that's what we as Christians need to do, break the vicious circle and get back to the virtuous circle of the cross, gratitude, prayer, and live in the knowledge of God's mercy and grace to us and walk in the light. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we pray that thou would teach us to pray, not merely with the words, though we're thankful for them in the Lord's Prayer, but that thou, Lord God, would enable us to humble ourselves and seek thy face. Forgive us, Lord God, for all of our wrongs, our weakness, our prayerlessness, and create in us that earnest desire to please thee and that yearning of gratitude. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.